going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Hello?
Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake. I was just meditating.
Wake up!
Be awake when I call.
But I don't know when you're going to call, so when would I sleep?
When I'm not calling. I have asked you 1,000
times to have my housekeeper,
Elaine.
Linda is her name. Linda.
Put my slippers 53 centimeters away from the bed so when I hop out, my feet can land on them. I mean, am I being unreasonable? Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not unreasonable at all.
Damn right it's not too much. I can't be any kinder to you, April.
Why are you not at work?
I don't need a stay-at-home assistant.
Whoa, that's a scene from the comedy film Little, where an unreasonable boss gets her comeuppance when she becomes a preteen girl. Obviously, you can hear how she is bullying her assistant. But the issue of bullying in the workplace is a real thing, and it can cause problems on the job for you and your coworkers. This is part one of a two-part examination of the bullying issue. Now, later this week, we're going to talk about bullying as it impacts younger generations. But tonight, it's all about what's happening on your job. My guests are Dr. Mildred Payton. She is an expert on the impact of bullying. And Tanya Sloans is an ethics attorney and a career coach. And if you have been bullied on the job, or let's be transparent, perhaps you've done some bullying on the job, we would like to hear from you. Of course, our phone number is 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Payton and Ms. Sloan, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start with a little working definition here. Dr. Payton, how would you define workplace bullying?
So workplace bullying is a very broad definition, and it can look like so many different behaviors. But basically what it is it's a behavior, it's an abusive behavior towards a group of people or an individual that's done intentionally to either belittle the person, degrade them, or humiliate them. So it's an act of abuse, again, to make someone feel less than.
Hmm. Is that also kind of the same thing, Ms. Sloan's, as a hostile work environment?
Having someone create a hostile work environment is indeed a form of bullying. The main key to think about whether it's a hostile work environment broadly or bullying is that it's repeated behavior that has a very negative impact in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that's really kind of interesting as we're talking about this at the start of a new year, a lot of people have had an opportunity to have some time off. And if they believe that this is an issue on their jobs, going back to work, Ms. Sloan's, I'm sure has got to be rough after the first of the year.
Well, it can be rough, but believe it or not, statistics show that bullying and mistreatment in the workplace is at all-time lows at the beginning of the year. That is generally because the holiday season has just passed. There's lots of time for celebration, camaraderie, putting aside differences, and most importantly, taking time off to embrace friends and family. When we get that fuel outside of work, that gives us a different response when we go back to work. Our happy tanks are on full, and we tend to treat people better.
Interesting, because I would imagine if someone is dreading to go back to work and then they come back and everything is all hunky-dory, then can they think perhaps all is forgiven?
Not necessarily, because whether or not bullying exists is judged on a continuum. Of course, if something happens just a single time, it's not necessarily something that you can define as bullying, but it's something happening repeatedly, whether it's repeatedly to the same person or the same action happening over and over again to various individuals. Mm-hmm. It could be over a week's time or it could be over a number of years. Just all depends on the context.
This happened to you, Dr. Payton.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So give me the short story of what happened to you.
So in a nutshell, for me, about almost 4 years ago, I resigned from my position where I've pretty much worked a little over 12 years, I should say, with the organization. I left due to the fact that the culture was very toxic. It was a place where, you know, employees couldn't use their voice. If you have a concern or you raise some sort of grievance with the union, you were basically retaliated against. You were not supposed to voice out any concerns. So when you do so, you you know, you're mistreated, you're isolated, you're labeled as a troublemaker. And most times, from what I experienced and other people in the organization, you were pretty much held back. You were not able to move any further in the organization as far as your career is concerned. You were just treated poorly. You were treated poorly for raising a genuine concern or anything of some sort of sort that you were, you know, having issues with, whether it was with management, your supervisor, or with your colleague. And, you know, it's like this type of, I want to say a group where I guess another term for that is, you know, is a workplace mobbing. So it's like, you know, when you have a group of people who've already identified you as, quote unquote, the troublemaker, you know, it's like it really leaves you in this space of isolation where no one wants to hear what you have to say, whether it's legitimate or not. So, again, in my case, you know, I was just pretty much I was held back in my career where there was no room for advancement because questioning their authority or you know, voicing up my opinion about an issue was not appropriate. It was not acceptable.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight, we are talking about the bullying in the workplace. This is part one of a two-part examination of this bullying issue. Later on this week, we're going to talk about the impact on younger generations, what may be considered more traditional bullying, but how it's manifesting itself in 2020. I want to go to the phone lines real quick. Reese, calling from D.C. Hi, Reese. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I had a question about a hostile work environment. I just started a county job, with a new employee. We started the same date and time. And, you know, we were interested in meeting each other and we were excited because we were able to start at the same time. We were going to be stationed the same area. So we're going to be able to help each other, you know, as a long process to this new career that we were starting. And I didn't notice anything at first, but, you know, I started noting agitation in her behavior, like, you know, asking her questions and it was just, she'll throw a paper or, you know, or give you an eye or, you know, and I thought maybe it was me after a while, you know. So after, you know, a certain amount of time, I was just like, okay, I don't know if I should trust her because she started, you know, making aggressive statements and I asked her something wrong with her. She's like, no, nothing's wrong with me. And,
well, Reese, I've got to stop you. We've got a lot of folks on the line. Where are you right now with this?
I'm at the point where she has had an outrage with everybody in the office in this last 2 to 3 weeks. And we've only been there for a month or two. And now everyone is supposed to write a formal complaint about the behavior. And I'm at the point where I don't know how deep I should get because, to me, it's more psychological with this person.
Well, let me see what our experts have to say about this. Ms. Sloans, from what Reese has shared with us, what do you think about what's going on?
Sure. What I can tell you, Reese, right now is that you've got to be sure that you separate what happens outside of the workplace from what happens inside the workplace. And you want to be sure that you don't expect the workplace to then be the platform for which solve problems that begin before you got to the workplace. So those initial interactions that you have with her seem to have set the foundation for how you all interacted on the job. So the workplace may not be the appropriate place for you to resolve those issues.
But it sounds to me what she was describing were some things that were happening actually on the job and not, they. She said they started at the same time, but unless I'm mistaken, Reese, you said all of the things that you were describing happened after you started. Is that correct?
Yeah, we started on the, I mean, we don't go past the work from we clock in at 8, we leave out at 4:30.
Okay, so she's not talking about things that happen outside of the job. These are things that happen on the job, Ms. Sloan.
Okay, so give me an example of something that happened at work.
Well, she said that, for example, there was some aggressive comments, throwing papers, and you know, and the like, and now you're saying, Ms. Reese, that you're being asked to write up some kind of documentation about this woman's behavior?
Because it has not just been me in the office now. Since they thought it was a personal problem with me, but it's becoming an issue with everybody in the office. Like, it's been 4 people in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that's how I know that. But for me, like, I just started, so I feel as though putting out an opinion or being too aggressive on a situation would make, you know, me feel some type of way. But the environment is hostile because this is every day. Like, I don't even say anything anymore.
Okay, well, let me see what Dr. Payton has to say. Dr. Payton?
You know, I can certainly relate to you because the second part of my bullying experience was basically the shouting and yelling and intimidation. So we had this office manager at the time where he would pretty much hover over your shoulder when you're working at your cubicles. And during staff meetings, he will also come in, and whether it was in the beginning or towards the end, he'll pretty much just stand there and just, you know, have this type of, like, this fit while he's pounding on his fist saying, I need you all to make sure you're getting your work done. You know, if you don't get your ratings up, you know, I'm going to start writing people up. So it was just this level of intimidation and aggression that was becoming a pattern. So much so that, one morning he just had this outrage. It was just so frightening. And that's what pretty much just pushed me out the door, because I was not comfortable. I was now in an environment where I could not concentrate. My productivity went down. I didn't feel safe in the environment anymore. I didn't trust him. I didn't trust anybody else, because the issue in history just always gets swept under the rug. So I knew it was time for me to leave because of this aggressive situation.
Ms. Sloan, real quick, what advice can you give to Reese? Because this is a complex situation. I don't know whether or not the employee is being bullied or she is doing the bullying. There seems to be a lot of complicated issues here. Should she stand back? Should she go to human resources? Quickly, what would you suggest?
I would suggest that she and the other employees that are impacted by the negative behavior both go to the employee assistance office, if there is one, and definitely the human resource department. If this is affecting a number of people, it's likely impacting the overall productivity of the workplace, and the employer will stand up to take action.
Okay, thank you so much, Reese. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about bullying in the workplace. How do you recognize it? How is it addressed? Marietta calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. Briefly, go right ahead.
Okay, I'm calling about a situation that's happened in the workplace more recently. Within the last month of November. And so what they've done is they've taken the guy that's the aggressor out of the store for a month, but there was no communication to say that, you know, we suspended him or anything. I mean, for all we know, he could have been on vacay. Come to find out, they did not fire him, as I had suggested, and I honestly believe that HR is really wishing it to go away. It's not going to go away, because I'm going to file a claim with EEOC. Yeah. It's so bad that the aggression is extremely excessive. Like, he's a walking time bomb, this guy.
Ms. Sloan, go right ahead.
Yes. Well, I know that you may feel a little bit negative about it because it's going on, but let me reassure you that the employer having taken action to remove him for 1 month says to you that you're working with an employer who is willing to address the situation. You want to make sure that you are documenting all of the instances in which you and others experience abusive relations or abusive action, whether it be the time, the place, the individuals that witnessed it, or maybe witnesses to it, you want to make sure you're documenting those things. And then absolutely move forward with filing your complaint that the issue still is not resolved.
Okay. Go right ahead, please.
Absolutely. I agree. You certainly want to document as much as possible, and you want to, be persistent. Be persistent because sometimes, those complaints end up being followed up on. And if this is an issue and it's making you uncomfortable, then you definitely want to make sure you stay on top of it and make sure the issue is addressed, whether it's internally or externally.
Thank you so much, Marietta, for giving us a call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight, we are talking about bullying in the workplace. How do you recognize it? How do you address it? And, gosh, what do you do about it? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shamika, quickly, before the break, what's on your mind?
So, yes.
Real quick, Shamika, I've got a minute.
Okay, well, I'm going to sum it up really quick. So my boss was sexist, and he didn't like females. He didn't try to promote you or anything. Anybody that was in before he came, he fired him. And I just got fired like 6 months ago, and it was HR thought that I had I put in for FMLA, and they said I didn't fill out the paperwork right. And that's what they end up saying it was. But my boss, because he was sexist, he told them, HR, that he didn't want me to come back because he didn't figure a veteran officer would not fill out paperwork correctly. And it's also because he was buddy-buddy with the lieutenant, and I felt like he undersaw me for that position. And a lot of things that I was telling him, being an officer, that about the lieutenant, about his job, I was going to the boss and telling him, this isn't done right, because I was the acting supervisor for
Shamika. I need you to hold on for a minute, and we need to kind of bring that in a little bit. Lots of stuff going on, and I want to try to help you help us figure all of that out. We are talking about workplace bullying tonight, how to recognize it, how to deal with it. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Coming up, The Quiet Storm with Angela Stribling on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM. You will be able to hear the program. That includes Terry and Shamika. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. More of your phone calls after the break.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation, part one of a two-part examination on bullying. Tonight, we're talking about bullying in the workplace. What does it look like? How do you address it? My guests are Dr. Mildred Payton. She is an expert on the impact of bullying, and Tanya Sloans. She is an ethics attorney and a career coach. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. We will make sure we take your call. Okay, we were talking to Shamika. Shamika, I don't want to get down into the weeds of the specifics. Just answer this question for me. Why do you believe that you were being bullied? Give me the one line. What was it that made you clutch your pearls and say, oh my goodness, I'm not being treated right?
Because I knew my worth and how much I dedicated myself to that job. I went 110 beyond, and like he never ever recognized, or gave me my advancement or my promotion that I was, I was entitled to. And then it's not because I was there 9 years, but I my blood and sweat and tears was put into my job. I love my job. And it was because it was a friend-based business with him. And, you know, I get my friends in there, and I'm a promote them first because they were males. And he felt like females couldn't do the job that he wanted them to do, or he couldn't talk to me the way he talked to them.
Okay.
And things like that. And I felt like, as you know, as my boss and me being there a long time, you should be able to come to me and talk to me and state what I don't know what to say about a man being sexist and, you know, taking their power and just running with it.
Okay. Let me ask Ms. Sloan's about that. Your thoughts about that. Can you be a bully and not be sexist? Can you be a sexist bully? Let's kind of break that down a little bit, Ms. Sloan, because I guess the thing I'm trying to figure out is, what does it look like when you're being bullied? What is the equivalent of getting sand kicked in your face on the playground in the office?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the important things to do is to make sure that the communication is what she needs in this scenario. In particular, I heard her say initially that the HR representatives were telling her that she filled out the paperwork incorrectly. So she wants to make sure that she's communicating with the HR personnel and asking them for assistance. What should be in this particular area of the complaint? What are you expecting to see in this other area of the complaint? So she can get the right information so she can communicate her issue clearly. The other thing is, I'm wondering if there has been much one-on-one communication with the boss directly. Sometimes we can make assumptions that an individual is treating us a certain way because of our sex, because of our color. It may be that way. It may not be that way from that person's experience. I have had scenarios where I thought I was being mistreated because I was a woman. But when I sat down and talked to the boss, it was actually because he was having problems in his personal life at home. So we want to make sure that we're communicating as calmly and as openly as possible so we can get to the root of her problem so we can come to a solution.
Okay. Any thoughts, Dr. Payton, real quick?
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing her saying, she's very headstrong in that she believes that she was being bullied because she was a female and that the boss is a sexist. So in this case, bullying, there's no law for bullying, you know, but there's a law for harassment because there's a protected class, whether it's your religion, discrimination, or your gender, or your race. So in this case, if you strongly have all the believe and you have all the evidence that you're being bullied because of your gender, then that could very well tie into a illegal case, because that now we're crossing over into the protected class area, which is your gender. So bullying, again, there's no actual law to protect employees from being bullied. But when it's coupled with, harassment or discrimination based on your religion or your gender, then yes, you most likely would have a case. And I would strongly advise you to seek legal advice of that's the case.
Shamika, thank you so much and good luck to you. Let me go to the next phone call. Terry, calling from Maryland. Terry, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, I feel like I work in a hostile work environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because my job, I've been there for 13 years, and I see, for instance, we do certified training, and then I see other people that come in, been there like 2 months. And then they make them a certified trainer. For me, I've asked several times, and they never do. But whenever they bring a new person in, they bring them to me to train, and someone else is clocked in as a certified trainer. Because anytime you got a new person, that person you have to have a certified trainer clock in.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that clocked in is not trained. And, you know, it's just a difference between the way they treat the minority, and it's like, if you want this job, then you're going to have to, you know, it's nothing you can do. And most of the time, the managers, they see it, you talk to them, well, are you sure it happened this way? Are you sure that's what you meant? So we, as needing to work, and so we tend not to say anything. but to just hold on to our job, try to make it through the day, do what you got to do. But it's a very and it doesn't make a good day.
Well, let me hold on for a minute there, Terry. Let me stop you there, because one of the things that I'm still trying to work on some clarity here. And one of the things that I'm hearing, and I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that the people that are calling in and are saying that they feel that they are being mistreated or not getting what they want, that's one thing. But that happens on every single job. There are people who do not get the promotions. They do not get the raises for various and sundry reasons. But is that bullying?
It's considered bullying if it's done intentionally. If it's done intentionally.
Okay, let's talk about intentionally. Okay, if the boss doesn't think you deserve it because they don't think that you're up to snuff, is that bullying? Or does that mean that they don't think that you job well enough?
Well, what does the number say? What does your evaluation say? If mm-hmm. your boss has never approached you and say there's an issue with your work and your performance, but yet you're not being given an opportunity to advance, other people are coming behind you and moving ahead of you, which I've seen too, and I experienced that, then yes, that is considered being bullied, because it's like now they're using their power, they're misusing their position and their title and to hold you back. And if it's making you feel, if it's belittling you or stopping you from growing within your career, then yes, it is considered bullying, because now you're being tortured in a sense for no good reason in way. You know, it's more personal now as opposed to what the numbers are saying.
How do you know, Ms. Sloan, that it is personal?
Well, it's a very subjective standard. It's hard to look at it objectively, but one way that actually the caller is actually spot on. One way in determining if something is personal is by looking at how others who are similarly situated are treated. If this individual is supervising 15 people, and, you know, there are only three people who, you know, get a good morning and a hello and the other 12 people get nothing, then you can kind of see that there is some disparity in treatment. But I feel like the caller in particular should really focus on making sure that she is articulating the value that she's bringing, the experience that she's bringing to her role, and making sure she's asking for the appropriate compensation. Because it sounds like it's really that she doesn't feel she's getting what she is supposed to be getting that's causing the frustration. Mm-hmm. What other people are getting is secondary, but it seems that the primary issue is that she needs to get the value that she's worth in the workplace.
Terry, thank you so much for your phone call. I do, Ms. Sloan, want to drill back down on something you just said and help me with this, because I think the example that you used, if the boss comes in and speaks to everybody but you, if the boss's tone is obtuse with only you, if the memos or the email are particularly visceral, I would think that that would be the more accurate definition of bullying as opposed to someone not getting what they believe they deserve. Help me with that.
I see what you're saying, because that's very obvious. It's very clear.
Right.
But a lot of times the reason why we don't recognize bullying for what it is in the workplace, because it could be very subtle.
Okay, so, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So again, by holding someone back, not allowing them to excel and giving them what they're entitled to or what they deserve, you know, it's unfair. It's unfair treatment. And if you don't have any legitimate reason to justify why this person is not being promoted, then yes, that's abuse of your of power. You're misusing your title, your position, and it's unfair. So yes, other people. That's a very good way to see it, is that when others are being treated differently as opposed to how you're being treated, that's a very clear indication again. But sometimes these behaviors coming from whomever, whether it's your manager, your coworker, it can be very subtle, because, and that's what makes it so hard to prove, because it's a very covert behavior that can be going on. And you know, you really want to have as much description as possible so that when you're reporting these incidents, that you're very clear on what's going on and you're removing your feelings from what's happening, but more so you're sticking to the facts.
So let's talk about the going to HR piece, because, and we've talked about this quite a bit on this program, Ms. Sloan's, let's just call a spade, nobody trusts HR. they don't trust HR. And so why should I go to HR if I don't trust HR?
Well, let me say this. As an attorney who's been practicing law for about 20 years, I feel like I've seen quite a bit. You would be surprised at how many things can be resolved before we even get to HR. HR is governed specifically by various laws and statutes, both federal and local, that are very, very specific. So unless an issue or a problem falls within the specific guidelines of a statute that would give certain relief, a lot of times there isn't relief. There is always the option of talking to the individual with whom you feel you have the problem. A lot of times people have fear. I'm the employee, my boss is going to win no matter what. And oftentimes that isn't the case. Many times bosses want their employees to feel good about work, to have a good relationship so that they can get the productivity out of them that they need. So don't forget about communicating directly with the person, saying, I feel like you're not as nice to me as you are to others. Give that person an opportunity to respond and to identify how you're feeling. As well, other than human resources, most employers, whether private or public, have an employee assistance program, employee assistance office. That is where there are counselors who are on staff, ready and willing to sit down and talk to the employee about everything that is impacting their work experience, from factual to emotional and everything in between. So having the human resource office is good, but they are not the only alternative that an employee can seek to solve their issues.
Okay. Good suggestion there. Don, calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Don, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I'm taking it from the manager's perspective. A lot of folks that I've seen, and there are some issues, definitely. But a lot of times what I see is folks expect to get promoted because they've been in a job for a long time. And when they see other people come in, you have those that are go-getters, that they take the training, they want to do other things. But you have some employees that feel, I've been loyal, and I've been here for umpteen amount of years, and I should get the promotion. And you have to really explain to them that, hey, look, it's not just being here. It's actually getting the training to do other things. So when that promotion passes, I think you have to look at, compare yourself to the others and make sure you qualify to move up. You just can't be stagnant. Because when you complain, that's the first thing you want to look at. Well, what do you have in comparison? When you go to the manager, that's the thing that's going to be asked of us. And we have to explain that to people. And I just, you know, I like to see my employees get promoted, but I always tell them, what are you doing to better yourself? So when an opportunity comes, it can't be that I wasn't qualified for the job.
So help me with this a little bit, Don, because I think here's the rub. And I think this goes back to the piece that I was talking about before. Bullying, as you know, as a working definition, is how you treat people, whether it's subtle or if it's overt. And Dr. Payton is saying that you may be denied promotions and advances and raises and the like. Do you believe, Don, that as a manager, that is also a form of bullying, to deny someone who may or who has the right numbers, who has the right skills and requirements for the job?
Yes, it can be. If a manager makes it where you don't feel you can approach me because of how I talk and how I make you feel in the office, that means there's something wrong with my delivery, and that can be perceived as bullying. It can be perceived as threatening. Some people do it overtly. Some do it intentionally. As managers, if you're decent, you understand who are your weak people and who are the folks that you know you can push a little bit to get the best out of. But if it affects a person, then it can be perceived as bullying.
Go ahead, Dr. Payton. He just said, Don just said something that struck me. Pushing someone to get the best out of them, that may very well impact different people differently. You may push someone to get more out of, get better performance, and they may respond to that. But then other people you try to push in the same way, and they're not feeling that.
Well, that's right. But also it goes back to, you know, the tone and how we're approaching a person. You know, there's one thing when you give constructive criticism, and then there's another when you're trying to, again, you're trying to humiliate or embarrass the person, or you're discouraging them. For me personally, I can definitely say my former supervisor was very encouraging. As a leader, she, every time I wanted to sign up for any workshop or training or be a part of any type of activity or volunteering program that was going on, she would be the first one to say, hey, you know, I think this will be good for you. I support you. And just put her signature on, because she recognized that I'm the type of individual that likes to, increase my personal growth and my professional learning skills. So, when you have a manager who encourages you to be the best that you can be and knows your potential, that's perfect. But you also have those who may be a little intimidated by your ambition. And for me, I can personally say, you know, it wasn't a matter of was I performing or not, because I went above and beyond. I was doing my work. I was volunteering. I was on the county executive committee. I was on so many boards, and just internally and externally out of the organization, you know, and, you know, I just showed how committed I was to the organization. So no matter how hard I worked, it didn't matter, because what happened is, again, when you're in a toxic environment that states that you do not have a voice, no matter what you do, if you cross those boundaries, it doesn't matter how well you perform, you are going to be retaliated against.
Okay. Don, thank you so much for your input. Let me go to Pamela, calling from Chicago. Pamela, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi, you're welcome. I'm calling in just to make a general comment. What happens when it's the manager or the supervisor who's doing the bullying? In my situation, it was my supervisor, manager. We look at them, we go to them if there's a problem with employees. But this was actually the manager who was creating the hostile work environment, who was purposely, with intent, keeping me out of a supervisor job that I applied for 3 times. I can't say that I am qualified. I was qualified I've been there 20 years. For 19 years, I was an outstanding employee in all levels of my job, and she was eventually supervisor, giving me outstanding. So I did have the qualifications. I participated, I gave, I trained all 9 yards. But when she became supervisor, she was overheard to say amongst the closed doors that when she came on board, she was going to make sure none of the African-American employees got promoted to supervisor. She was going to make sure it would be only a white supervisor in that position. So she intentionally made sure that no African-American employee was going to be a supervisor in her office.
Okay, let me stop you there and bring in Ms. Sloan's. Because as we know, and as I've said during the course of this program, Ms. Sloan's, that these situations can be very complex, and without getting down into the weeds of things. But even based on what, you know, Pamela is saying, and many work cultures, government, private industry, when you have an entrenched manager or management team, it really takes a whole lot to change a culture that may be bullying, to correct a manager or to remove a manager who is doing something that is, you know, more than, you know, that isn't just subtle.
Yes, two things. Pamela, you should not be worried at all in circumstances where it's the boss or the supervisor who is doing the bullying.
Why shouldn't she?
Shows that more than 60% of all bullying occurs by supervisors or managers. So when people talk about bullying generally, there's an expectation that it is someone who has authority, who's actually engaging in the bullying authority. So resources have been put in place to address that. You as the employee do have a very, very powerful weapon, and that is documentation. Even if there is a broad management team who you believe is working together against you, you make sure that your documentation is airtight. What do I mean by documentation? Number one, your resume that details your experience, your longevity with the organization, and the like. Number two, emails and communications, especially those emails and communications within the organization where individuals are telling you that you're doing a good job. Even if someone sends you a one-line email that says, oh, my God, you did really good on XYZ project, you file that away as part of your portfolio to demonstrate your value to the organization. And finally, your specific credentials, getting extra certifications, degrees, trainings, all the like, so that when you get to the point of needing to argue your case, the documents speak for you, and you can demonstrate that you have value that far exceed the requirements for the job. And how could you be turned down from a promotion in that instance?
So here's my other question about that, because if you see and this again gets, you know, it's a rather oversimplification. But I think a lot of times you have well-meaning employees who see something that they believe is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The way that whether they are being treated poorly or the supervisor is treating someone poorly. Here's the difficult thing. If it is happening, how long do you keep your head down and not complain? Because if you complain about something that is obviously wrong and you document and you, then you may be termed a troublemaker. You may send it to HR that may not necessarily see it in your way. And it's messy.
It's messy. It's very messy. I was just listening to Ms. Sloan.
Yes,
she was saying, you know, you want to document your resume, your all the things you've done, you know, your certifications. And in my case, for example, I pretty much did all of that. Okay, I started at the organization with a bachelor's degree. I resigned with a PhD. Now, in between those times, I tried to apply for several promotion opportunities because that's how I am. I don't just stay stagnant. I like to grow. And to just pretty much sum up everything, right before I left, I recall a HR manager whom I knew very well. We were on the same employee recognition committee together where we honor all those employees and the great work they're doing. So I recall her contacting me right before I was getting off one day and said, hey, I know you applied for this position, but you know such and such makes all the decisions. Now, when she's saying such and such, she's referring to the administrator at the time who had already retired. So that goes to tell me if this person who already retired still has influence in what the management is doing, that goes to tell you that everything I was saying was done intentionally to hold me back in my career.
And that definitely sounds like bullying. If somebody who was no longer working there has retired and still has influence,
yes.
that obviously, I would characterize that as bullying. Is she right, Ms. Sloan?
Yes, it will stay within the definition of bullying as long as it has an impact on what is happening in the workplace. So
yeah.
Even if it's someone who's retired, who's no longer there on a day-to-day basis, if they have interactions with individuals still within the organization and it continues to have a negative impact, it's still bullying.
Okay. Pamela, thank you so much for your phone call. Lisa from Gaithersburg, thanks for calling quickly. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I am actually a survivor of workplace bullying. And the bullying was so intense that I had to be admitted to a psychiatric hospital to be talked out of wanting to take my life. Now, not only did I want to take my life, but I developed thoughts of wanting to harm the person who was bullying me. That was 7 years ago. And I have recovered, and I've become an advocate for mentally healthy workplaces.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's, you know, that's, and I think that's a really interesting point about the deleterious effects that bullying can have, even outside the workplace. Can you speak to that real quick, Dr. Payton?
Absolutely. She made a very key point right there where she mentioned that she actually wanted to take action against the person who was, you know, causing the bullying. And this is where we see some workplace violence going on. Sometimes, you know, we turn on the news and we hear that a person went back and, you know, harmed their former employees. And we don't really get to the bottom of it. But most times when you look at the study or the case, it's something has been going on where this person felt like they were being taken advantage of or not being hurt or just being mistreated. So, you know, I hear what you're saying. It, not only can we sometimes feel like, you know, it's we don't feel like, it, you know, it's worth living, but you also, you know, end up taking your frustration out on those who are causing you the pain and, you know, and grieve.
Lisa, thank you so much for calling. I only have about a minute left. I'll have, you know, Ms. Sloan's share some things real quick about how you can prevent this from happening to you when you first begin to suspect that you are being bullied in the workplace, real quick.
Well, I would say to anyone who even thinks they're experiencing bullying to make sure that you don't let fear take over. Speaking up early on can eliminate many, many, many problems, even something as subtle as someone saying something inappropriate to you and you saying, excuse me, to call attention to the fact that you may have been offended by something they said. We don't want to sit in fear and let things fester until they grow into an insurmountable challenge that we have to face. But speak up early on in the process. That's a key to stopping bullies in their tracks.
Some good advice. Dr. Mildred Payton and Tanya Sloan, thank you so much for talking to us. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we've helped some people out there.
Thank you for having me. It's been
absolutely
a pleasure.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, January 13th, 2020. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.